Welcome to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, the podcast that brings you expert advice, transparency, and clarity around franchise ownership. Whether you are a prospective or current franchisee or franchisor, or simply curious about the topic, say hello to your host, Christine Givens.
Welcome back to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, where I share my knowledge, experience, and hard-earned lessons learned about franchise ownership. This episode is a continuation of my conversation with Nora Farhat, a franchise owner who, along with her husband, owns not one, not two, but five franchise brands in the Detroit area. In part two of this interview, Nora talks about why she thinks women should consider franchise ownership and why she's a proponent of owning multiple franchise systems. Of course, the episode is also sprinkled with tips on entrepreneurship and life in general. So one of the things that you and I talked about on our pre-call was that you think that entrepreneurship, franchise ownership is a great opportunity or model for women. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I love this and I love it so much. And I joke because even at Pool Scouts, you know, people think traditional pool boy, right? Like the local guy.
The cabana boy.
Yes, the cabana boy, or maybe even like Johnny and Son's pool cleaner, you know, Matt's pool cleaning, right? Like it's always a guy and his kid or a guy and his friend who opened a pool service. Actually, you know who the highest performing Pool Scouts owner is? It is a woman. It's actually two women, right? And then on my side, I'm on the other side, right? Like, and I'm trying to build it, right? And I see them in this position and I love it. I love that franchising allows you to break stereotypes. I love that franchising almost equalizes the playing field. You know, we think of corporate and it looks in a very certain way to some regards, right? You know, and that's just generationally, that's just the way the system's been built. I think it takes a long time to break through a corporate organization and to add more women in higher levels, to add diversity to it. It takes a long time to build that. But in your business, in your model, that structure is gone. It's out the window. I think it opens up opportunities. And because not only opens up opportunities for women, but also because of the different mixes of franchises, you can find something that works for you. The number one reason I hear people want to go into business, forget franchises, is I need flexibility. Mm-hmm. As women, our schedule run differently in most regards. And I'm not speaking to everybody, but if you're also responsible to pick up the kids and to manage your household and to, you know, also be a breadwinner and to also, your life looks different. It doesn't look 8 till 5 Monday through Friday. Well, what's beautiful about franchising is you find the business that aligns with your lifestyle. And, you know, sometimes that's a seasonal business. Sometimes that's a business that you could do while, let's say, kids are at school. Sometimes that's a business that allows you to have some level of flexibility. So I think franchising to me could look exactly how you want it to look. But the number one rule is figure out what you need it to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, figure out what is important to you. If flexibility and time are important, I'm not going to go look at a business that opens after school and, you know, only, right? I'm going to think more, well, what's something that's a franchise that works and a model that works, but it's during the daytime. Maybe it's not a 7 day a week type franchise. Maybe it still allows me to have some level of, let's say, the flexibility of having a Sunday off or a Saturday off as needed. I love that. I think with franchising, you know, for years, I would follow influencers and I would follow people and I would, you know, and I realized at one point that I was following old men. And it's just the way it was. All the business things were being led by men. All the entrepreneurship things were being led by men. And I was trying to fit my life into that structure. It doesn't work. And the reason was because I realized, oh, well, he's up at 4 in the morning at the gym for 6 hours. I'm home with my kids, right? His wife is probably the one watching the kids. So I think there's such a funny thing about, and this is the reason I love your podcast. I love being able to go out there and share information. Our life looks different. Mm-hmm. Not bad. We're socialized differently. We have different pressures. It just looks different and not good or bad. I love being a woman. That's my strength. That's my superpower. But that also means it looks different. And that means it's important to recognize that as well, that you can expand and you can grow and you have the same opportunities. They just might look a little different.
Absolutely. It might be
that little flexibility, the extras.
Yeah. You also are really passionate about owning multiple brands. You think that is such a great way to be a franchisee, is to have the multiple brands that complement each other. Can you also talk about that?
We never went out looking for multiple brands. We went out looking to just open a business. It really is, and I always tell people, be careful with detailed business plans before you actually know what the business looks like. Be careful with the 20, 30-year plans when you don't even know what tomorrow is, right? So I'm really, really focused on one step at a time. When we had grown British Shrimp School, which was our very first business, it was 3 to 4 years before I even thought, oh, now I have a little bit more extra time on my hands. It took a long time for us to really build the infrastructure, to know that the revenue was reoccurring. Most businesses fail within the first year, even higher statistics after 3 years, right? Like, we know these things. And I didn't trust that I had the full infrastructure probably till 3 to 4 years into it. And then I realized, oh, this is great. It's working. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. But because it was me and my husband, we kind of looked at each other and said, all our eggs are sitting in the same basket. As a family that relies on our business for our livelihood and for our kids and for providing for our families, that felt very risky. Even though we had a great brand, we could have easily bought a second territory. We could have kept expanding the territory. For us, it was more about diversifying but staying in the same realm. If you think of the difference between British Swim School, which is primarily a kids' swim program, to Mathnasium, which is a kids' after-school program, we didn't stray far. We already knew the customer service aspect of it. We already had a customer base that we could connect into. We already knew marketing strategies that work aligned the same way. I already had a full service call center set up that could handle the calls incoming. So what I keep saying to people, it wasn't overnight that we built all these businesses, but we built on top of one business, another business. We were able to use resources and things we already knew to connect into the other businesses. And it was our way to diversify. When we got into Pool Scouts, which is a pool cleaning, well, the first customer was British Swim School, right? We needed the service. And then we started to target other people that we knew needed the service. So everything to us, even now with Real Property Management, well, guess what? The number one service is going to be in property management. If they have a pool, I have a pool service company that could potentially service that. So it's kind of working within what you have and growing it. And I think there's so many great ways for people like me that are interested in a little bit of everything. And kind of goes back to my childhood. I wouldn't have told you the one thing I'm willing to do. My passion isn't swimming. My passion is business, operations. That's the stuff I love. And I can love that whether it's doing it for British Swim School or property management or the Wonderly Lights, right? Like, you bring out those skills in all of these different areas, and it allows us to diversify, to have staff crossover, to get our hands kind of in different things. It's a structure that works well for us and that we love, and it keeps us on our toes a little bit.
I can see the crossover of employees could be a big deal because if it's a you don't have a full-time position or something, you could between two businesses. And in this employee, the labor market, I could see that being really important.
It really is. We don't cross over as much as people think we do. I think there is, though, as you get bigger, there's like a core team or a main team. But we really also try to still look at each business as an individual. Somebody said to me, your Wonderly Lights is a seasonal, it's just a seasonal business. I said, no, it's not an offset of my pool business. It is a full business on its own. You have to look at it as its own individual business, and it has to stand on its own. I love that challenge. For me to be able to say either that business has to make enough money in its season to cover itself for the year, or I need to figure out how to run it all year. I like looking at things that each individual business has to stand on its own. It's not steal from Paul to pay, John, or it can't be that
Absolutely.
structure. I think we're very clear on what they look like each individually, but then we say, where could we merge services? Where can I? Can I just use the same scheduling app that I'm already paying for, and add a few more users? Yes, I can. Perfect. Does that call center have a little bit more capacity to handle secondary calls, on a different phone line? Yes, it does. Wonderful. So those are, HR for me is one function. It is not, each company needs an HR manager. No, it wouldn't, I couldn't justify it. but I can justify a corporate HR person that's responsible to support me across the board. So I think you're able to also build at a higher level sometimes when you're able to grow in different ways or different areas.
Absolutely. So going back to the discussion about women, the thing I was thinking about is that you talked about you have to be able to delegate. If you're a woman, a mom, wife who's looking at investing in a franchise, you definitely need to then be making sure that you delegate, because you can't be everywhere all the time. You're not going to achieve your goals, whatever those are.
100%. And I think, and I said it in the beginning that I am a micromanager. That's just by nature. I love, getting into the details and, and I will show you how I do it better, right? Like that's, but then that doesn't work, right? Like that's wonderful. But then I realized my biggest strength was teaching it, not doing it myself. Yeah. I'm very aware of that. And I think some of it is age and experience that also helped me with that. I think I had to say to myself, no, if I can't teach you how to do it, it is completely pointless for me to be the only one in the room to know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I actually spend most of my time is trying to teach and pass on the information and to let go. And sometimes, that little rule of 80% is good enough. I repeat this to myself all the time, that you have to trust in your staff. You put them there. You have to trust in the systems that they work. And anytime they don't work, I don't look at the employee. I come back to me. Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm not doing? What training did we not make available? What is it that we did not say that allowed for this miscommunication to happen? So I think accountability is a big part of that. I think women naturally take on a lot more accountability. But I actually think, again, that's our superpower. Because when you self-reflect in a business, you come back and you fix it. Mm-hmm. You really do. You come back and you, because I'm able to, I think, be very good at self-reflecting, I tend to take ownership of everything. I do take ownership when something works, and I take ownership when it doesn't work just as much. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a real strength. I think also that we're able to, I'm not going to say multitask. I actually don't believe in multitasking. I don't like to do six things at the same time. That's not what I do, but I do things very quickly and after each other is what I call it.
Switch gears.
100%.
Seamlessly. I think that's definitely how I do things. And I can go between the two things pretty easily.
100%. 100%. But no, I'm not going to answer emails and, handle a phone call. That's distracting. That's inefficient. And honestly, nobody wins from when you don't give something your full energy. So for me, I always like to, and this is even true with, being a mom and having kids, I used to be like, I'm not spending enough time with them. And I realized time is not the factor. It's energy. When I show up, how much energy am I giving them? Mm-hmm. Because if I show up and I'm there, but I'm on my phone the entire time on work stuff, and I'm like, yeah, we're watching your show, but I'm really not. And I'm not engaging with them and I'm not really talking to them. Guess what? Time didn't matter. That was a complete bad spending time. That wasn't connecting with anybody. So I'm very aware of my energy. When I'm speaking to an employee, when I'm speaking to, my own kids, I give them what they deserve at that moment, which is my energy, which that is what I think we do bring to the table is, can we engage people in the way that they deserve it when, when you're handling something
Absolutely.
In front of you.
From the beginning, did your husband also leave a corporate position? Was he working full-time in the business?
Yes, he was. The difference is, and again, I always tell people, because everybody's situation is so different. We had both been working overseas. We had been out there for 8 years. We had young kids. We were looking to relocate back to the US. And it was probably the first time that we would go from, where you either go back and you find a new job, right? Because we are relocating back to the US. We did not have a job already lined up. So we thought, I think we can both take this risk and kind of jump forward and do this. And if it doesn't work, the rule was that we would have to go back and get a real job, right? Mm-hmm. We were on the same page. We were definitely, we had also stabilized ourselves. We were financially in the right position to do that, which I think is a very important component of when people make those kinds of decisions. Yep. And we were able to kind of both jump in. Now, people always question working with your spouse and how does that work? The reality is we know our roles. We are very clear about it. Listen, there's no one way to do something, but when you involve too many people in one decision, you're going to only come up with a cluster and 20 different ways to do something, right? But we quickly identify, and we do this throughout all of our brands. We know what our roles are. We're very clear. When it comes to these things, that's me. When it comes to this, that's you. I certainly do not jump in and show him how to do what he needs to do at the pool service technician side, but he's not allowed to get involved in my customer service call, right? Like, it's a very clearly defined line. And I think that that's the rule. I think once we knew our rules, and once in a while, we maybe have to remind ourselves the rules, I think we both are able to blossom in what we do best. And I think that's what makes it work.
Do employees ever try to play you two off each other?
Yes, but you know, we're so clearly defined. People know exactly who they work for. And then in my case, I'm the employee person, so they work for me. It doesn't work that way. We're too structured and too organized, and we communicate too much that wouldn't go very far, right? We communicate. We are, you know, obviously partners in business, but we're also partners in life, and we have our kids and our family. And you know, people always ask about balance, and I don't really believe in balance. I think you go where your energy is needed is mm-hmm. kind of our general rule. Our work to us is not a job. I don't think you can go to entrepreneurship to check the box because it's a job. I think you need to have it be a little bit more than that, or it's hard to get through those really difficult moments. If you don't love, and I'm not saying love what you do, like in a generic sense, like I love swimming. No, if you don't love working, rolling up your sleeves, hustling, speaking to people, like if that's not something that you really can enjoy at the end of the day, I think it's hard to be in those positions. I never see entrepreneurship as a job. We really, really see it as our hobby. I don't play tennis. You wouldn't catch me golfing, which I'd be horrible at, but that's not our hobby. Our hobby is working. We love the hustle. We love the business side of it. We love the negotiations, the deals, we love that side of it, that it has become, it's part of our lifestyle. It is our hobby. It's part of what we do. And we're lucky enough that now it does pay the bills. So you're able to keep doing it.
Do you think you would have loved doing it as much on your own versus with your husband as a partnership?
You know, I don't. I think that because we're such a team, and when I say a team, I'm talking about like in the household, we're a team, with the kids, we're a team. I think there's something really fun about doing it together as well. And honestly, sometimes you just need to be able to go home and say, oh, what a horrible thing that was. And somebody that goes, I get it. You know, it's, we joke, but sometimes you just need to be able to vent to someone that will understand it, right? And both of us being in it, we understand it. I think it's hard when you have where, and I've never quite understood this, and I know everybody's so uniquely different. Like when somebody, like in relationships work in such different ways, right? Some people might agree, hey, I'm going to be the primary caregiver at the house. You're going to be the primary breadwinner. I completely understand this. Great respect for this. But then I think it must be so hard when they're not connecting back, right? Because the breadwinner isn't just the breadwinner. When they show up at home, here's somebody who's been taking care of the whole household, and they can't vent to each other because they can't relate to it.
Yeah.
There's such an interesting wall that I think sometimes could develop from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because,
you know, you're not in each other's world, and you kind of divided it in a way where you're not also kind of interlocking it at some point. Yeah. That I think it's hard for somebody that goes to work to come home and to say, what do you mean you've had a long day? I've had a long day. Or I think it's hard for somebody to be home with the kids all day to say, you've done nothing compared to what I've done, you know? Yeah. That's why I always think that you got to figure out where does it also interconnect. It can't just be a straight line. That's not how things work. Things have to ebb and flow and move a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, my husband and I, we work in different fields, but we both work. And so we connect on that level. But I agree. I think it would be hard to, you'd really have to try to develop compassion and empathy for each other and try to get in that other person's head to understand what they're going through if one person is taking care of the household and one person is working outside the house.
100%. I think it takes such a level of communication and openness you're going to work harder at that, but you know what? That's the only way you're going to, like you said, create the empathy and understanding between each other.
Thank you so much for being a guest today. I wish I would have known you when I was a franchisee. My gosh, I could have learned so much from you. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story and your passion. It's inspiring. It's intoxicating. I really Thank you so much. And tell people how they can get a hold of you or talk about anything you want to highlight in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I started Upside Down Entrepreneurship, the podcast, because it was my way to kind of share a lot of the things I had learned. And I felt like we needed an uncensored version. It's kind of like parenting, right? For a long time, everybody's telling you everything's great. And then you're in the middle of it going, really? Is this the way it's supposed to look like? I think that's what I wanted to share and help tell the story. I know many people are out there now telling the stories, but that was my version of kind of contributing back and sharing my experiences. So Upside Down Entrepreneurship, you can download that and anywhere you get, you know, you listen to your podcast. I do have a website called entrepreneurship.com or upsidedownentrepreneurship.com. Honestly, social media handles nora.farhat. You'll probably get more of my family life and less of my business life there. I'm getting better. or checking out even, I'm sure on your show notes, you'll have all of the great brands that I've mentioned. It's such a pleasure. It's always so nice to speak with somebody who fully understands it. And I think you have such a great, unique perspective because you're doing both sides of it. And I know you speak a lot with people that are not only business owners that are doing it, but then also people who are looking to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's such a strength to it. We've definitely had such beautiful, positive feedback, but then there's also the reality of it. So I love the show. Avid listener. Like I said, I've been listening for the last year and just a few episodes. I've even gone back a few times and I said, that's pretty good to know.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully, you know, there was one topic that I would love to have you back on. I think it's just the how you approach when you're breaking a concept down and how you set priorities. That I think that in itself would make a great interview because someone who doesn't have their background may not have that knowledge and experience to be able to do that themselves. So hopefully
I love that. I got to tell you, I actually think my biggest strength is actually my organization structure. Yeah. what allows me to do a lot, it's a structure, it's organized. It's knowing my habits, knowing my routine. I'm very diligent about that. Which is ironic because entrepreneurship is a lot about going with the flow in some regards. Right. But I think I've built that in a way where my non-negotiables are non-negotiable. I've gotten better at it through the years. But I agree with you. I think that the organization side of it and, again, knowing where you're going. You know, I always tell people, if you don't know where you're going, every day is just going to repeat.
Yeah.
And you're right. Going to keep that unsatisfaction, right? Like you don't know what that looks like. Is the very first thing you got to get real with is where do I want to go? And then you're able to create, like, let's say the habits or the path or the system, the routines mm-hmm. that allow you to get there. To me, that's such a big, important topic. And I think that we don't teach people enough how to do that. I think we don't teach enough about structure and organization and time utilization, I think are such important things, especially, you know, for women. I think that we more, you know, I love the statistic during COVID when all the dads were home and all the moms were home and all that 90% of dads surveyed were saying that they're doing so much more for the family. And it was still actually 90% on the woman, you know, like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think we're socialized differently. I think that we're set up in a different way. I do tend to take on more things when it has to do with my kids, but I love that too. So I think there's an interesting,
yeah,
it's not yeah. black and white, I guess, but I think that if we don't learn, I think the more successful a woman is, you see the structure behind her.
Absolutely. I know when I had owned my accounting firm, we had very strong, you know, a very strong infrastructure. We had procedures, et cetera. And I felt like if you don't have that infrastructure, you can't flex. You need to have that first so you can flex in and out. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. You need that organization to start from.
So you can- yeah. And then using the systems, right? And I was serious when I said I shied away from technology. I found it a bit over my head and I wasn't fully comfortable with it. But then the reality is you got to keep up.
Yeah. I love it now. I love it.
100%. And, you know, I would rather use Word and Excel, right? But now with the technology and the information out there, you know, anytime somebody comes to me and let's say it's a 19-year-old, somebody helping me out in the office, they go, well, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, use YouTube. Oh my God. I wish I had YouTube for everything.
Exactly.
Right. Like there's nothing. I mean, you've seen it. People can build houses now following enough YouTube tutorials. And I'm not that handy, but I'm saying is there is so many wonderful technologies. You know, I used to shy away from social media. And I'm like, man, there's a big advantage to using my social media platforms. There's huge advantages to sharing posts and understanding that world a little bit. Now, I don't get caught up in it. Those are not the same thing. But at the same time, use the technology. I think it's out there.
Well, thank you. I've loved talking to you, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
You as well. Such a pleasure.
Thanks again, Nora, for providing the listeners with so many nuggets of wisdom. I look forward to your next appearance on the podcast. All of Nora's contact information will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Don't hesitate to reach out to me via email by going to the contact page on my website, christinegivens.com. If you're currently evaluating a franchise system, make sure you get my guide called The Ultimate Step-by-Step Guide to Vetting and Evaluating a Franchise Opportunity. You'll also find that resource on my website. As always, tune in next week, and thanks for listening.